This is Bob Enyart inviting you to our second Friday meeting on June 8th to hear scientists from the Creation Research Society speak at our Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship meeting, Friday, June 8th at 7 p.m. And if you'd like a visiting scientist to speak at your church on Sunday, June 10th, please contact the Creation Research Society. For more about our Friday night, June 8th meeting, which is at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church at Wadsworth and 21st, please just go to kgov.com, that's kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The National Organization for Marriage called for a boycott of Starbucks because of the coffee company's aggressive promotion of homosexual marriage, and they called it the Dump Starbucks campaign. And so Doug McBurney, I came into the studio. Doug said, on the air, Bob, there's a boycott against Starbucks. I said, well, I got a venti 20-ounce Pike brew right here. So I said, why don't we go out after the show and I'll dump it? And Doug took a video of it, and we put it on YouTube, and it ended up on the Huffington Post on MSNBC's website. It's got 11,500 views so far at YouTube, and there is a homosexual activist named Wayne Besson who posted the video, or at least on his website, Truth Wins Out. They posted the website. Some of the comments were very interesting. One person commented and said, where was the venom in the video? This man clearly stated his view, and you call that hatred? Sad. I believe it's the homosexual community that is filled with hatred. Seems that anyone who does not accept everything that homosexuals want to do is a homophobe hater. So the comments are interesting, but what we thought we would do is, because this is getting attention, well, for example, this morning I did an interview. It was supposed to be 5 minutes on one of the major FM stations, one of the largest in the country, and the shock jock, the DJ, I'm not going to mention his name because he's filthy. His shtick is filthy, but I'd like to give an account of how it went. This is one of the nation's top 10 media markets, and I ended up being on the show for about 20 minutes, so they didn't play any music for 20 minutes, no rock and roll, and it went just wonderfully well. It was very encouraging, and they took a couple calls. A lesbian called in and talked about her uncle and that her and her partner, she has a four-year-old daughter, and they do not show affection in front of her daughter. And I asked her, I said, Courtney, why would you not do that? Why wouldn't you show affection? My wife and I, as our kids are growing up, we give each other hugs and kisses in front of the kids, my wife and I. Why wouldn't you do that? I said, Courtney, you know in your heart that it's wrong, that it's perverse, and your conscience that God gave you is telling you not to do that. So it went very well. They gave me plenty of time to make the case against homosexuality being dangerous. So what I thought we'd do is we go to an interview I did with Wayne Besson back a few years ago. We pulled it out of the archives, and so we'll tune in and we'll listen to it. We won't be able to hear the whole thing, but a good chunk of it, and you will be able to hear the whole thing online at our website, kgov.com. We'll also embed the YouTube video if you haven't seen that. So now let's join from the very beginning my interview of homosexual activist Wayne Besson. Wayne Besson, if I'm pronouncing that right, leads a pro-homosexual organization. And perhaps he'll answer questions I just asked Lisa Miller from Newsweek. Remember that show we just did? She wrote the cover story on homosexual marriage. That'd be neat to get those questions answered. Wayne's group is located in Brooklyn, New York. And by the way, my wife Cheryl and I recently walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. And if I would have known about TWO, Mr. Besson's group, TWO, Truth Wins Out, perhaps we could have done an interview in person. But I wonder if Wayne Besson knows that Focus on the Family has changed their public policy position on homosexuality. On his website, he addresses Focus on the Family. So let's go to him. Wayne Besson, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Wayne, are you familiar with the change in Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson, and their public policy position regarding homosexuality?
Well, they still have their ex-gay program for what I understand, and so I don't really see a change. In fact, I see in Charlotte, North Carolina, they're going to have a big Pray Away the Gay conference next month. So whatever cosmetic changes they may or may not have added to the website, what I do see is their basic tenet that you can pray away the gay, which I adamantly oppose, as does the American Psychological Association.
And Wayne, you and I come from completely opposite positions on this issue of homosexuality, and I represent a group of right-wing Christians who are openly critical of Dr. Dobson because they have changed, and it's not a superficial or cosmetic change, it's a fundamental change. Do you know that previously they advocated laws that criminalized homosexuality? You're familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
And that now, for example, the elders of our church, I pastor Denver Bible Church, we went down, gave a presentation to their public policy division down in Colorado Springs, and Tom Minery, the vice president of public policy for Dr. Dobson, stated clearly, and we went to talk to them about this, that they oppose laws that criminalize homosexuality. In fact, Colorado's own Amendment 2 effort back in the early 90s, which they campaigned for, today they would not be in favor for it because they think it's discriminatory against homosexuals. So I see it as a sad development that Focus on the Family no longer advocates what had been a Judeo-Christian legal principle for centuries, for millennia, that homosexuality has been criminal. They now believe it should be legal.
Well, I think as Christians and other people of other religions have often done, when attitudes in society change, they change as well. I think that people learn from experience and see the error of their ways. You know, it also had been a tenet for centuries. In fact, the church played a crucial role in slavery, as did the Muslim faith in Africa with slavery. People saw the evil of this and changed it. The role of women has changed.
Wayne Besson, you're right, as did the whole world. You know, the Roman Empire, the Greeks, the Egyptians, go back to biblical history. The Jews were slaves in Egypt in bondage for generations. So, yeah, the world had this horrendous, horrendous experience with slavery. I'm thankful for people like William Wilberforce in England and Harriet Tubman in America, Christians who pioneered, they were abolitionists to end slavery.
Christians played a role. They didn't play the only role, certainly not even the majority role. People who weren't Christians and certainly were secular played probably the key role. In fact, as you know, the Southern Baptists were formed in defense of slavery. So, you know, they've been wrong in the past, and they're also wrong with homosexuality today. And we expect to get an apology probably within 50 to 100 years, although, you know, it could be longer.
You very well may get that. The statement on your website that I would look for something to see if we could have some common ground to start our interview. And so I looked for a statement that I could agree with, and I found one that I could pretty close to agree with, almost, that you said, quote, Focus on the Family is going to find that support for their outdated position on gay and lesbian equality is eroding, even among evangelical Christians. Wayne, you're right. Evangelical Christians, people who go to Bible churches, are beginning to change this century-old belief that homosexuality is criminal, and they're beginning to, well, they've adopted the slogan that Focus on the Family promoted, equal rights for homosexuals. Do you remember when Dr. Dobson and Tom Minery promoted that?
Well, here's what I do know. I do know that your position on this. Do you really consider America a free country? Right now, as we were speaking, somebody with a badge barged into my house, handcuffed me, and put me in a cage. And I mean, is that really the kind of America you want to see? Most people, the vast majority of them, would be horrified by that. They certainly wouldn't call this a free country, but that's what it seems you're promoting.
I think that back when America was founded, going back centuries and millennia, homosexuality was a crime. And in the last 30 years...
And slavery was a law.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I'm not saying everything in the past was right. I'm not saying that. That's Pollyannish. No, but homosexuality was criminal. And in the last 30, 40 years of the acceptance and decriminalization of homosexuality, we've seen the tortured deaths of millions of people because of homosexual behavior. So I think it's cruel. It's a form of self-hatred and hatred of your neighbor to promote homosexuality because it's so devastating.
Nobody,
it's so destructive.
Nobody in the history of this world has ever died because of homosexuality. They've died perhaps... Suppose you're referring to a virus, the HIV virus, but that's the majority of people in this world are heterosexual in Africa who are dying for this. And no gay person has ever died who has used condoms, which, for example, if they have sex, that conservative Christians have opposed with great vigor. So homosexuality has never killed anybody. In fact, I've been out of the closet since 1988 when I was 18, and, got my physical at the doctor the other day, and I'm doing quite well. So it's irrelevant.
Wayne,
nobody dies or even gets sick.
I'm glad that you're healthy, and I hope that you remain healthy throughout a long life. But I do hope you reconsider. You know, homosexual sex itself is inherently dangerous. Like, for example, heterosexual sex between a husband and a wife is... A sperm is not likely to go through the lining and get into a woman's bloodstream, whereas the rectal wall, we all know, is thin. Sperm readily penetrate the rectal wall. That leads to a great risk of disease, of tearing.
Actually, that's medically untrue.
Well, how about the best way to spread hepatitis B, HIV, and syphilis, and other bloodborne diseases? Is through rectal sex and heterosexual sex. It's the same is not true.
It's not true for men.
Well, it is.
However, you just said it doesn't penetrate the vaginal wall. Now, how exactly are women in Africa and in America much more likely than men to get it if that's the case? You're saying defies everything about science, particularly with the American Medical Association.
Let me ask
the AIDS statistics back what I'm saying and not you. Nobody has ever gotten the slightest bit sick. There's been no negative health benefits by being gay. You know what causes gay people to be sick? Ignorance. Ignorance of how to protect themselves, just as with heterosexuals.
All right, let me ask you this. Am I wrong when I say this, that unlike heterosexual intercourse, rectal intercourse is the best way to spread hepatitis B, syphilis, and HIV. Am I wrong when I say that? I mean, a husband and wife are married, and they don't spread HIV to one another, even though they're having sexual relations. That's a common phenomenon. Johnson, others.
I suppose you could ask Jimmy Swaggart's wife about that. The fact is that
Need
to learn.
Right.
The fact is that people need to know about safer sex, whether they're married or not. You know, about 50% of Americans end up divorced. Much of that is through cheating. To call marriage a fail-proof way, in fact, marriages fail at a much greater rate than condoms, quite frankly. Everybody, whether they're Christian or non-Christian or married or unmarried, need to know about safer sex and how to protect themselves. Unfortunately, from the evangelical community on the right, they're promoting ignorance over education, and there's been disastrous health results because of this. You know, there's never, ever been a group of people who were practicing safer sex, there was an HIV epidemic. If you ask people who have been infected with any sexually transmitted disease, it's almost always when unsafe sex, coming from ignorance, feeling
condoms,
terrible about themselves.
Wayne, condoms have a failure rate regarding pregnancy, and the HIV virus is minuscule. It's tiny compared to the enormous size of a sperm in comparison. So obviously, safe sex, if you have a partner who's HIV positive and you're having sex with a condom, the failure rate for pregnancy is significant. That's one reason Planned Parenthood gets so much business for abortions.
Well,
so
that's
you can only
true.
Get pregnant in 1 week out of the month, 5 days out of the month. You could get HIV 30 days out of the month, and the HIV virus is so much more likely to penetrate the latex of a condom than is a sperm.
That's not true.
None of that is true, Wayne?
That is not true.
None of it's true.
None of that's true.
How about
Absolutely
that you can only get
true.
Pregnant a few days a week and you could get HIV any day? Is that true?
Well, you can only get pregnant. Well, you know what? What you're saying is false medically. What you're doing is spreading misinformation medically. The fact is, if your people are having safe sex, they're not transmitting any disease like you're talking about. And people, unfortunately,
well, they get
usually
pregnant.
The condom breaks. No,
Wayne.
If the condom breaks, it's from people who don't know how to use them. You know what that stems from? It stems from the ridiculous $200 million plus a year the Bush administration, for example, has spent to push this absolutely nonsensical, medically vapid abstinence only, where people not only lie about being abstinent and virginity pledges, but they're more likely to catch sexually transmitted disease. You know what spreads STDs? Virginity pledges and abstinence only education.
All right,
that's
Wayne,
medical
and,
fact.
I could agree with you and being upset and angry and critical of George Bush too. So there are some areas of agreement. Only we're on opposite sides of the issue. Can I ask you a couple questions? One is about how people are born, and the other is about how we treat those of the opposite sex. Why, Wayne Besson, why do we not allow a male coach into a girl's locker room? Some fundamental questions about gender.
Well, there's, for one thing, it's a huge power imbalance is one thing. Men oftentimes are much bigger, and of course with society, you know, that opens up a lot of potential problems. However, you know,
he's 5'8". Let's say the coach is 5'8", he's slender build. Our society, we don't assume every adult is a child molester, right? But we don't allow a male coach in the girls' locker room. Do you know why that
is? Well, you know what? But we do.
No, we don't.
Have male coaches, but we do have male coaches over women's teams throughout this country.
Yeah, but
why
don't we allow them in the showers or in the locker room, in the health club, in the ladies? There's a reason. I'm wondering if you know, with your insights on sexuality.
I don't know. You seem to be fascinated with this.
I'm interviewing
in locker room. I think it's a ridiculous question. The fact of the matter,
I just asked you one question. How can I be fascinated, Wayne?
Absolutely absurd.
I submit to you, Wayne, that you're afraid to answer that simple question.
No, I'm not afraid to answer
that question.
Sexual
why
harassment.
Is it? Why?
Would you agree that sexual harassment is wrong in all cases?
Okay, so why do we don't assume every adult is a child molester, right? I don't.
Well, of course we don't, but why?
Okay, so why don't we allow a male coach?
Isn't sexual harassment always wrong? That's what it comes down to. Sexual. I know what you're getting at. This sexual harassment is always wrong, and we should understand that.
Why? So why don't we allow a male coach in a girl's locker room?
Well, I tell you what.
I can tell you why.
Okay, please enlighten me with this question.
Because
I know where you're going with it, but it's a faulty logic.
Realize where I'm going, but you're inherently afraid of it, Wayne.
Well, no, you're inherently afraid to point out where you're going with it.
No,
why,
I'm not. I'm just ready to do
why,
that.
Why, for example?
I'll answer
why,
the
for
question.
Example,
yeah.
Well, you go ahead and finish. And
okay.
I'll
we don't allow. We don't allow a male coach in the girls' locker room because there's a sexual attraction between men and women. And so we give teenage girls privacy from men, from males, from boys, in their showers, in their locker rooms. That's why we don't allow a man in a girl's locker room. So you're promoting widespread acceptance of homosexuality. So how does that work?
I
submit it doesn't work. It's inherently dangerous and dysfunctional.
Well,
so what do we do about the male coach who's a homosexual?
Well, that's actually provably false. In fact, some of the top
What's false? I just asked the question,
it's provably,
Wayne.
Look, it's
what
provably
is false?
False what you're getting at. Well, let's look at it this way. Every single military in NATO except the United States has gays in the military, and it's working out quite fine, because there's rules of sexual harassment, for example, that are tightly followed. Nobody should feel threatened or harassed. That's the most important point right here. So are you assuming that American, it seems to be very insulting, that Americans, particularly the military, are the stupidest people in the world, according to your opinion, because they're the only people in the world that can't be mature and professional when it comes to openly gay people? What's so different about Americans that you're against us?
I think that a man who is attracted to males should not be allowed in a boys' locker room for the same reason that a man who's attracted to girls should not be allowed in the girls' locker room, because it's a violation of the fundamental dignity and respect of a human being that they could be in private places and social environments and have no concern over sexual tension or leering eyes.
Well, you know, it's only sexual tension when it comes to men if you're insecure with your sexuality.
No, that's not true. How about the girls? The teenage girls. So should we allow men in their locker rooms?
My heterosexual friends can go to the gym with me, and there's no sexual tension. I suggest that we've got a bunch of repressed religious fanatics who aren't comfortable with themselves.
So are the teenage girls repressed? And is that why we don't allow boys in their locker room? Because they're dysfunctional?
I think you're conveniently ignoring, again, the power factors and centuries of sexism and male domination and intimidation of women. You're conveniently leaving out this history when you say that.
So we'll let the female coaches in the boys' showers.
This is like a bunch of locker room talk. What you're missing
the
point.
You basically want
to jail and segregate gay people because of your own insecurities and prejudices and hatreds. And you're basing this all upon religion. The fact is, the countries that work best in this world are the ones without discrimination, the ones that are doing best, the states that are doing best in the United States of America, outlaw discrimination based on sexual orientation, and all this bigotry and all of this tension and all the stuff you're talking about is not there in those states and those countries. The places that are most homophobic in this world are quite the opposite. It's usually religious repression that causes most of what you're talking about.
All right, well, so Wayne, thank you for addressing that question. Let's remind the audience that you're with an organization called TWO. Could you tell them about your group?
Yeah, Truth Wins Out. What we do is we defend the gay and lesbian community against anti-gay lies and misinformation. And doing it quite well. Particularly, we defend our community against the lie of that so-called ex-gay myth, where people pray away the gay, or say they can. Of course, these people who have claimed to have gone from gay to straight are usually out at gay bars and not who they say they are, in which we've shown with this organization. So, obviously, we are kept quite busy because if you look at the anti-gay arguments, they just simply don't stand up like the one we just had. Gay and lesbian people, as you know, are our friends and family members, and discrimination is just flat out wrong. And those who have gay and lesbian friends and family members know this. And I just want to add one more thing.
Yeah.
We want to dispel the myth that the religion is necessarily against gay and lesbian Americans.
There are all kinds of religions that are pro-homosexual. Christian denominations, Wayne, you're not kidding, and there's increasing support for homosexuality among evangelical Christians, so you're right. You brought up the ex-gay phenomenon, and Westword, I don't know if you've heard of Westword. It's a Denver weekly alternative. I can't really say it's the pro-homosexual newspaper in town because the Denver Post is a pro-homosexual newspaper. It's probably the anti-heterosexual newspaper in town. But they did an article on me, and there were hundreds of our listeners who had posted on our website, and they figured they'd contact 10 of them randomly. And this is on their website, westword.com. And they contacted from Greenwood, Indiana, David Oshel. And they said, and I didn't know David, but he's one of our listeners. They said, David Oshel was openly gay from 1983 to 1995. He started listening to Bob Benyart Live. And he told Westword that what Bob Benyart says about homosexuality is correct. It is disgusting. It's exceedingly promiscuous. Many move toward more vile practices because it's no longer fulfilling. He's now married with children, homeschooling, and he's an anti-abortion activist. So, Wayne, do you have to somehow try to discredit his personal testimony and say he's lying or it's not true?
Well, you know, it's not me discrediting this particular so-called testimony. What this is that anti-gay organizations and churches are upset right now. They can't fathom that gay and lesbian people have very successful relationships, that we have terrific lives as long as we don't do irresponsible behavior that is promoted, unfortunately, by mostly by people who come from anti-gay churches and have low self-esteem as a result. So they can't fathom the fact that many of us do terrific things for this world. And as a result, people are seeing that, and we're gaining acceptance. And this whole ex-gay thing is really a political tactic that, you know, is there for right-wing Christians to say, well, gay people don't really exist. They're just misbehaving heterosexuals. It's, you know, really a smokescreen.
They exist. Wayne, we agree on that also. They do exist.
Actually, ex-gays don't really exist. In fact, I photographed the leader of the ex-gay ministries in a gay bar.
I believe that. Hey, Wayne, back 15 years ago, I've been on the air 5 days a week for, 18 years. And way back in the early 1990s, I warned a group called Where Grace Abounds that if they have weekly meetings with ex-former homosexuals, they will end up in a gay bar after their meeting because they're run without wisdom. It's like somebody who's addicted to porn and prostitutes starting a ministry to reach out to prostitutes. It's a fundamental lack of wisdom. So their failure is expected by our side also.
Well, of course, other than the fact that your notion that it's somehow an addiction is wrong, it's obviously if they're going to go to a gay bar after desperately trying to change and being browbeaten by right-wing religious groups to change who they are, it doesn't work. I think it quite honestly shows how innate this is.
Stop the tape. Yeah, addictions, they become very innate, very hard to break, especially sexual addictions, perversions. So what we will do is continue this interview with Wayne Bessin on the Bob and Yurt Live program, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps Thursday. We have other things to do. Friday's show, Real Science Friday, Fred Williams and I have a great program called the Real Science Friday Caveman Show. The Real Science Friday Caveman Show, I think you will absolutely love it. What you'll learn about Neanderthals, I think, will stun you, and it will be something that you'll always remember for the rest of your life, exposing another false prediction of the evolutionist. So tune in, Bob and Yurt Live, the rest of the week, Wayne Bessin, this homosexual activist. The debate gets better and better. So if you don't want to wait, you can come to our website, kgov.com, and check it out right now. You can check it out at kgov.com. You could hear the entire interview with Bessin. Very much worthwhile. And the show summary, I think you might want to email that to friends or family or homosexuals who you're trying to reach to wake up. In reality, this is primarily a form of rebellion against God. People who say they love homosexuals, actually, they're using them to express their hatred of God, their rebellion against God. So you can check out that video, that silly video Doug and I put up that's been on MSNBC now and Huffington Post, and it's a lot of fun. So, hey, God bless you.
Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Emyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.